So, Father, at this time, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, that you would reveal the truth of your word to everyone who's assembled here today and those who will be listening later on the podcast, Almighty God. Your word that was spoken is alive and has great significance to us today, because in it we find the way, the truth, and the life which is in you. And we have the joy and the hope that we have in our God, and that we're all citizens of the kingdom of God, bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, co-heirs, equals, for Messiah's sake. We give you all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. So turn with me now, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew in the Hebrew. We're in chapter 25, and we're in verse 14. Chapter 25, verse 14. And I just want to back up for a second here to the very first sentence of the first verse of chapter 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven at that time. Now beginning in verse 14. For it, the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man about to leave a home for a while, who entrusted his possessions to his servants. To one he gave 5 talents. Some translations give this, the equivalent to 100 years' wages, or dollar equivalents, to be either 6 to 7 figures. To another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, to each according to his ability. And then he left. The one who had received the 5 talents immediately went out and invested it and earned another 5. Similarly, the one given 2 earned another 2. But the one given 1 talent went off, and he simply dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned to settle the accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the other 5, and said, Sir, you gave me 5 talents, and here I've made 5 more. His master said to him, Excellent. You are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness. Now the one who had received the 1 talent, excuse me, I skipped over here. Also the one who received 2 talents came forward and said, Sir, you gave me 2 talents, and here I've made 2 more. His master said to him, Excellent. You are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness. Now the one who had received 1 talent came forward and said, I knew you were a hard man. You harvest where you do not plant, and you gather where you do not sow. So I was afraid, so I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, take what belongs to you. You wicked and lazy servant, said his master. So you knew, and did you, that I harvest where I haven't planted, and I gather where I do not sow seed. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would at least have been gotten back interest with capital. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. As for this worthless servant, throw him out in the dark, the darkness, where people will wail and grind their teeth. Now, this message must have been very, very startling to his Talmudim, the 12 disciples who were with Yeshua as he was giving this teaching for the very, very first time. Yeshua knew that in just 2 days, he was going to die. He was going to be celebrating Pesach for the very last time on this earth. But after his death upon that tree, he was going to raise from the dead, and that he would be with his Talmudim, his disciples, for a small amount of time. Then he was going to go on a very long journey. So what Yeshua is doing here is he's planting the seeds in them. After a long time, the master returns and calls his 3 servants. 2 of them have doubled their talents. The 3rd has made nothing at all. And he returns to his master exactly what he received. It turns out that this servant had simply buried the talent in the ground. This was a common security measure in ancient times. He reveals the reason for his action. He was afraid of his master. He was motivated by fear and fear alone. His trust in his master was 0. So he reduced his financial risk to 0. Yet he reduced the possibility of profit of so also was 0. The story as we have it leaves us with some unanswered questions. How would the master have responded to the first 2 servants if they had not brought in a profit? What if they had put their talents at risk and came back empty-handed? I believe the master would have accepted them. After all, in the parable, what he commends is not on the profits, but on their trust. He does not commend the servant who produced 5 talents more than the one who produced 2. Each receives the same commendation. Excellent, was his words. You are a good and trustworthy servant. Each receives the same invitation in verses 21 and 23. You have been faithful with a small amount, so I put you in charge now of a larger amount. Come now and join in your master's happiness. And in responding to the 3rd servant, the master makes it clear that he would have accepted anything, even a savings account interest. But what he did was he was motivated by fear than trust. But we must pay attention now that the servant who has been given 5 talents makes 5 talents more. And the one who receives 2 talents makes 2 more. This doubling in this case suggests a growth is automatic. It's not the brilliance of the servants that produces the results so much as their willingness to act and to simply trust. Has God ever asked you to do something that was out of your comfort zone? And you've had to simply trust him? Because this was a brand new experience for you? How about standing before your class and giving a report for the very first time? I remember doing that as a child. My writing was terrible, and I simply went before the class, and I was very, very nervous because as a boy, I had the capability to start stuttering at any moment. And then all of a sudden, I was standing before 20 to 40 of my peers, along with the teacher, all by myself. And my handwriting was so poor at that time, I could even barely read it. So we've all had these times in our lives where we will allow fear to fill our hearts and minds. But what Yeshua is teaching his Talmudim here is this: no matter what amount of talent I've given you, and we're not talking about America's Got Talent here. We're not talking about singing or dancing or telling jokes or doing very, very unusual things. But these are the talents that have been given by whom? By Abba, Father God. Some have been given greater talents, because there's greater responsibility that they are to have. But God gives to each one of us the talents and ability so we will fulfill his call in our lives. So let us continue here. The parable is not about talents or ability so much as it is about trust. Let us focus on that, trust, or having faith in God. The master sets the example. He first trusts his servants, and he acts on this trust. And you know, there's something here we forget. These servants were not paid wages. They were actually slaves. So the clothes on their back, the food that they ate, were not even their own. If they were to join into marriage, the master would choose who they were to marry. And so their wife and their children, the blessing of the union of their marriage, would be then owned by the master. And so what, in this context of the story, what's happening here is, here's a master turning to his slaves and giving them, and these talents, some say they were up to five pounds. These talents, it doesn't tell us if they were gold, silver, bronze, or copper. But each one of them had great value. And you know what? These servants had never been put in the place where this was their job to deal with talents. That was the master's role. And so what he's doing is he's turning the tables here, and he's saying, I'm going away, but I'm going to be trusting you in my place. For one, he chose up to five talents because he knew the ability and character of that one servant. To another, he gave two, for he knew the character and ability of that servant. And he gave one talent to one because he knew the character and ability of that servant. And so what he's doing here is he's saying this, I'm investing in you. I'm trusting in you. In the value of my household and my family, my kingdom. I'm putting you in a place. And so I'm asking you to stretch. Just as I'm investing this in you, and you are to learn and go by my example. So let us continue here as we see how the truth was revealed in all these portions. So now the master sets the example. He trusts his servants, and it's out of acts of this trust that the servants, or rather two of them, return the favor by acting out trust rather than in fear. They came back to their master with one fortune stacked upon another, but it was built upon trust. The third servant creates an ugly picture of a stingy master who demands success. Now, what this servant gets for his trouble is exactly the rejection he fears. He is a small-minded person who claims that his master is the same likeness, is also small-minded. The other servants, however, recognize the generosity when they see it. The heap of talents thrust their way reveal the master, who's now pretty generous to them, who takes a risk, who accepts them just as they are, and he even honors them. So now they're finding themselves at the receiving end of such an outrageous trust. They feel empowered and are now willing to take risks on their own. The love of their master was shown to them, and it overcomes their fear of failure. They realize that any master who treats his talent managers in an open-handed way is more interested in them than he is in turning a profit. The brief parable about the master and his three servants turns upside down the standards of this world. It announces the worst thing that can happen is that we make Abba Father God out to be an old vindictive miser who rejects us when we fail. The parable tells us that the worst thing is not losing out. The worst thing is never risking. In the eyes of Abba Father God, The fear that keeps the treasure in the ground is an act of not trusting Abba, Father God, for who he is. Continuing. The freedom we have that puts the treasure at risk may even result in its loss. This is an act of trust in itself. We can learn from our failures, and often it's a failure that provides the most indelible lessons in our lives. But fear teaches us nothing until we leave it behind. Continuing, the good news is crowded with people who are there to shock us to the realization that it is foolish and sinful to not to trust Abba, Father God. There's the snide elder brother who refuses to welcome his prodigal brother, the all-day workers who demand that the late arrival workers receive less than the daily wage, the Purushim, the Pharisee, who tries to talk Abba, Father God, into accepting him because he has kept the rules and not because Abba, Father God, is merciful. All these live in the gray, fearful world where grace is absent and slackers get thrown to the wolves. We are all sympathetic with these pathetic people because we too are given to bearing our talent out of fear. Have you not been there? Has not the Spirit of the living God had to probe you and say, Frank, it's simple. One foot in front of the other. Do it one foot after the other. And when I come to that destination and I'm there trembling before the Lord saying, why am I here? And I don't feel good. I'm terrified. Then the Spirit of the living God descends upon me, and I receive the full provision. So along the way, I'm making those steps. And step by step, I'm believing and I'm releasing. I'm dying to myself, and I'm saying, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fill me so that I will do what is honoring in our Father's sight. So continuing here. We also have been anxious by the fear idol of our own imagination. Wait a second, Rabbi. We don't have rabbi. We don't have idols. We don't. How many of us bow before the idol of fear in our lives? And if we're truthful and honest, that idol is there. But it's only when the time when we reject that idol and we press on and saying, God, I'm going to trust you for and in your provision. And it is in you I stand. It's in you that I'm completed. It's in you that I have hope. So continuing here. We all know what it's like to misperceive and mistrust Abba, Father God. Honestly, have you ever been in that place? How about Yohanan the Immerser? When he was taken away and he was in the dungeon, Herod's dungeon, did he not ask Yeshua's Talmudim, is he truly the Messiah or should I look for another? And what did they say to them? The lame walk, the dead are raised, and the good news is being proclaimed to all the people. See, we all have those times. Continuing, the good news is that Yeshua gives new meaning to success and security. Success is found not in accumulating more than we could ever use, but in our willingness to risk in response to Abba, Father God's invitation. Security is found not in keeping pace with our raising paranoia, but in the reliable Abba, Father God, who trusts us before we trust ourselves, who risks and ask us to risk also. The French scientist, the theologian, Paris Teilhard de Chardin, in his best-known book, The Divine Milieu, he writes these words, God obviously has no need of the products of your busy activity, since he could give himself everything without you. The only thing that concerns him, the only thing that he desires intensely, is your faithful use of your freedom and the preference you accord him over the things all around you. Try to grasp this. The things that are given to you on the earth are given to you purely as an exercise, a blank sheet on which you make your own mind and heart. You are on a testing ground where God can judge whether you are capable of being translated to heaven and into his presence. You are now on trial, so that matters very little what becomes of the fruits of the earth or what they are worth. The whole question now is whether you have learned how to obey and how to love. The parable of the talents is not really about money or abilities. It is a story about trust, a story about risk, and life is the same way, is it not? What's important is not money or ability in themselves, but our decision to use them in ways that show our willingness to risk and trust. The central question about life is not, what did we accomplish? Remember that saying in the 80s? The boy that dies with the most toys wins? That's the world, right? But whether we learn to obey and whether we learn to love Abba, Father, God, that's what truly matters. So what is now our responsibility in the kingdom? It's simply this, to trust and obey Abba, Father, God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? He's made it so simple for us to do that. Shabbat Shalom.